Hi, I'm Graham Alcott, and I'm the author of Kind, The Quiet Power of Kindness at Work. I've written 6 books, including the global bestseller How to Be a Productivity Ninja and How to Fix Meetings. But this latest book, Kind, is all about making the case for kindness, empathy, trust, and psychological safety at work. And not because they're fluffy, hippie ideas, but because they're key to driving performance. In my own business, Think Productive, one of our corporate values is trust and kindness are our rocket fuel. And over the years, we've built a global and 100% remote organization with kindness very much at its heart. Kindness is often so quiet that it can easily go unnoticed. So with this book, my intention is to put it center stage. So here are 5 key insights from Kind, The Quiet Power of Kindness at Work. Number 1, kindness and empathy build trust and psychological safety. High-performing teams are built on trust and psychological safety, and kindness is one of the fastest ways to build this high-performing environment. Trust allows people to take risks, admit their mistakes, and it removes micromanagement and other forms of due diligence. And then in a team, psychological safety, the idea that we feel able to take interpersonal risks, leads to high performance. When a team is psychologically safe, people raise the alarm if they spot a problem, and they share the risky ideas that might drive innovation. They also tell the hard truths, and they're also more open to the feedback so that they can improve as well. They feel seen and heard and part of a bigger picture. So it's not surprising that all the research points to psychologically safe, people-driven businesses as being more successful. And this psychological safety is the gift that keeps on giving. It leads to higher productivity, higher engagement levels and retention of staff, higher levels of well-being and lower stress, more creativity and innovation, and even higher measures of happiness. So kindness and empathy aren't just moral nice-to-haves, they're strategic advantages. Kind acts and more trusting, empathetic connections between people are the fastest ways to build a culture of psychological safety, where the work matters because the people doing it matter. Number 2, nice and kind are not the same thing. Kindness often gets a bad press, or you might even hear people say that there's no place for kindness at work. They think of kindness as being weak or that it makes you a pushover. What I often say to those arguments is that you're confusing being kind with just being nice. There's a big difference between the two, and nice often is a bit weak. Nice cultures often focus on keeping the peace, but they shirk the responsibility to tell the truth or call out bad behaviour. Whereas kind cultures are the ones that focus on truth and grace. Nice is about telling people what they want to hear. Kind is about telling people what they need to hear. Think about it. You've been in a meeting and a colleague has just delivered a presentation to the group. And it just hasn't gone well. And then at the end of the meeting, your colleague comes up to you and they ask you for feedback. So, how do you think I did? In this moment, we face a choice. The nice option is that we tell a bit of a white lie to keep the peace. We say something like, it was good, really good. But in that moment, we don't really mean it. We're shirking the truth to keep the peace. Or we can take the kind route. And the kind route looks slightly different. So that looks like us investing maybe 20 minutes the following day to go through some quick feedback with that person. We can offer difficult and uncomfortable truth to that person, but we can do it from a place of love. And the result is that they can then learn and improve. And that takes real strength to choose kind over nice in that moment. Firstly, it's inconvenient. It takes time. Secondly, it's really brave because you've often got to put your relationship with that person at risk slightly in order to help them to improve. And then thirdly, it's skillful. it takes a lot of skill to deliver that truth and grace in a way that really communicates the message well. But the result, when everybody operates like that, is that no one fears feedback, people grow, and the team's performance and work output continuously improves. Being too nice can be equated with weakness, but being kind isn't weak at all. And when you look at it like that, it's actually pretty badass. Number three, challenging the business bastard narrative. Kindness drives performance. It also lowers our stress levels and improves our physical well-being. And it's free. So the question is, why isn't there more kindness at work? What is holding us back? In the book, I talk about a few things, and one of them is the business bastard narrative. So if you look at portrayals of business or work in theatre and fiction and the media, what you'll start to notice everywhere is this business bastard archetype. So right back to Shylock and Ebenezer Scrooge, right through to Mr. Burns in The Simpsons or Shark Tank or The Wolf of Wall Street, we're taught that the people who treat people badly are the ones who succeed. So a few years ago, when people were reading the biography of Steve Jobs, I personally witnessed a lot of founders of tech companies in my co-working space thinking that if they shouted at their staff during the all-hands meeting, they'd just have the next Apple on their hands automatically. And in the book, I debunk this mindset, the idea that everything is dog-eat-dog and that success has to come at the expense of other people. The truth is that the vast majority of successful leaders, statistically, are the ones who are likable. But reasonable people doing a great job and being kind and maybe even inspiring loyalty along the way, it's just a much less interesting story than that of an evil genius. But from Warren Buffett to Jacinda Ardern and from Brian Chesky at Airbnb through to the kind managers and leaders that you've worked with, there are remarkable people whose warmth and kindness have set the tone for their success. So this business bastard narrative, it keeps us locked into a mindset of scarcity, whereas kindness actually requires us to rewire our brains towards abundance. We've got to move away from the self-talk in our heads that says there isn't enough time, or that there isn't enough, or that we are not enough. And we've got to replace that with a self-talk that talks about abundance. There is enough. I am enough. And when we see the world through this lens, then kindness becomes much, much easier. Number four, kindness is a verb and not a noun. A lot of what we see online when it comes to kindness, the hashtag be kind, the social media memes, the idea of virtue signaling, is people adopting kindness as part of their identity. And in the book, I say that actually there's no such thing as a kind person or an unkind person. There's just kind actions or unkind actions. And the good news is we all have the capacity to be kind. The bad news is we all have the capacity to be unkind as well. Kindness isn't something that you are, it's something that you do. You're as kind as your last kind act, or as unkind as your last unkind act. When we see kindness as a verb, not a noun, we start to see it as a practice, much like writing as a practice or yoga as a practice. And the more we practice, the easier it becomes to take the risks that we need to take in order to be kind. So kindness is what happens in the gap. It's the gap between having the idea about making someone's day and then actually making someone's day. There's no prizes for just having the thought. It's the action that counts. The more we see kindness as a practice, the more we spot the gap when it happens in our day. It's that tiny moment when you spot that opportunity to be kind. So like you're on a train and someone needs your seat more than you do. Or you're in a meeting and there's this tiny window of time to say something kind about a colleague. Act in that moment and you make their day. But if you ponder on it for even just a couple of seconds too long, the agenda moves on, the moment's gone, and it'll never be returned to. So learning to act, to leap into those moments when we spot the gap, Rather than being held back by our own resistance, that is the essence of kindness. And if you want to notice more opportunities to see those gaps around you more often, it really helps to slow down. The biggest source of accidental unkindness is busyness. And when we reduce busyness and increase presence, it increases our empathy and we build stronger relationships with everybody around us. Number 5, kindness starts with you, but doesn't end with you. In the book, I talk about the 8 principles of kindfulness at work. The first of these is that kindness starts with you. So when we think about kindness, often our first thought is external. Who needs our help? How can we be kind to a stranger? How can we pay it forward? But the uncomfortable truth is we've got to start with self-kindness. Most of us are hardwired to treat other people way better than we allow ourselves to treat ourselves. We think of self-care as somehow self-indulgent. But practicing self-kindness is really important role modeling. It sends the signal to others around us that self-kindness really matters, and then they can follow our example. And it also helps us move our own self-talk away from that mental chatter about scarcity and towards a much more abundant way of thinking. So you've got to stop thinking about self-kindness or self-care as being self-indulgent. Because purely for the kindness it inspires in other people, being kind to yourself is actually a radical act of generosity. So kindness starts with you, and the people who are kinder to themselves just find it way easier to be kind to other people. And the final principle of the book is that kindness doesn't end with you. In the coffee shops of Naples, they've got this tradition called caffè sospeso. It basically means suspended coffee, and it's a pay-it-forward model. So they have a jar on the desk in the coffee shop, and when I order my coffee, I tell the barista that I also want to order a caffè sospeso. And when I do that, the barista gives me a suspended coffee ticket, and I put that ticket in the jar. And then next time someone comes in, and perhaps they don't have their wallet or they don't have any money, they can take that ticket out of the jar and they claim their free coffee. And it's a wonderful example of the power of just a single act of kindness to create a massive ripple effect. So think about it. I feel good and I get that helper's high from having put the cafe sospeso ticket in the jar. The barista working behind the bar, they feel really good about where they work. And all the customers who witness it and the other people in the queue, they're perhaps inspired to go and do something kind later that day as well. And then someone comes in later and they claim that ticket and they claim their coffee, and then everyone gets to witness that act of kindness all over again. And there's a lot of research that talks about how many ripple effects can come from just a single act of kindness. But when we think about it, what did the coffee shop owner actually do? All they did was, probably many years ago, they found a jar, you know, probably in a cupboard or something, and they wrote Cafe Sospeso on it and they put it on the counter. And literally, they created in that moment a vessel for kindness. In doing so, they made it easy for me to be kind on that day, and they inspired a lot of knock-on effects. And that is kindfulness. The idea that as well as just being kind ourselves, we can create the vessels to allow other people to be kinder. So we can, in our work, make it easy for other people to be kind. So whether it's instigating the thank you card and then everyone says something good about someone doing a really great job, and they probably say better things on that card than they would say in person, or it's taking a few moments at the start of a team meeting so that everyone can just say something valuable about the person to their left, we can all create those vessels for kindness. So I invite you to think about this in your own work. What's the equivalent for you of that jar on the desk in the coffee shop? How can you be a vessel for kindness? How can you create vessels for kindness? And how can you make it easy for everyone around you to be kind? As we conclude, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening to these insights from my book, Kind. And I hope these ideas inspire you to think about how you can bring more kindness into your workplace and elsewhere, and perhaps even be a little bit braver with your kindness as well. If you want to learn more about me and my work, you can head to grahamalcott.com. And of course, I hope you're going to check out the book. And when you do, I'd love to hear from you about how you're putting kindness into action. Thanks again for listening.